As mentioned, I see tremendous justice and favor for corporate enterprise. Why? You don't work for corporate enterprise unless there's an agenda that we don't know about, some type of hidden agenda, and I should hope that's not the case. But if that's not the case, why favor corporate enterprise over the rights of the people? It makes zero sense.
Thank you, Mr. Flynn. And if you have, are you finished?
No, of course not.
Because would you please wrap up? We're here to hear.
No. I will speak as I wish to speak. I will wrap it up as soon as I can. But I have things to say. Thank you. America is a constitutional republic. A constitutional republic is a nation ruled by law, not by man. The supreme law is the Constitution of the United States of America. That's the superseding law. It supersedes any other law, rule, statutes, regulation, policy, procedure, ordinance, what have you. If those rules, regulations, laws are not in compliance with the Constitution, then lawfully and legally they're null and void, as if they never existed at all, and they can be set aside. Okay? Now, I refer to this public meeting. Why isn't it a public hearing? So that our comments are on the public record and given due legal weight and consideration by this body that serves the people, or theoretically serves the people. You, sir, and Aunt Mark Bergeron, in answer to a question in the last meeting, when you didn't answer, the fellow persisted with his question, and he said, or asked, I should say, do our comments have any weight at all? And your answer was essentially, no. Your comments have no weight tonight because the DEP relies upon statute. Statute is not the supreme law. When statutes interferes with the supreme law, that statute is null and void, as if it never existed. If we take a look at this project, there are a lot of promises made by government, by the town of Bingham, by First Wind, and by their associates. I don't see any of those promises bonded in writing with guarantees. I see nothing of that nature. Talk walks. Action speaks volumes. And if the actions do not follow the speech, the actions are meaningless. The people that have been left out of this entire matter are the people of this community and the other communities that are affected. I respect the opinion of those who favor the project for whatever reasons. They're their reasons. I don't agree, but I expect their right to express their opinion. And we who oppose it have the right to express our opinion. Now, there are many people in Maine who are very sick and fed up with what's going on in government, not only in Maine, on the local level and on the national level. America has become a disgrace, an absolute disgrace. The bankers and the private corporations get bailed out to the tune of trillions of dollars. And tens of millions of people lose their home due to foreclosure fraud? That's not America. We have to get back to the balance. We have to get back to the scale. And the scale is the Constitution. And enough people in this state have spoken to me and spoken to other people. And if this project is approved, as I said in the previous meeting, if this project is approved, when there is a constitutional violation, there's always a constitutional remedy. And that remedy is to sue each and every one of you in your individual capacities, and we've been very effective at doing that.
The next speaker I have is Dan Melcher. Dan Melcher?
Thank you. Yep, my name is Dan Melcher. I've lived in Bingham since I was 6 years old. My family has been here for generations. I'm a logging contractor here in Bingham, and I employ about 14 people. Unfortunately, in Bingham, that makes me one of the largest employers. That kind of tells you that we could really need an economic stimulus here. You know, this town is shameful to drive through it. It used to be such a beautiful town. Now it's boarded up. Half of it's boarded up. You know, we really need a project like this to help, you know, with our tax money. And I see nothing wrong with Forest Wind helping out with snowmobile clubs and ski areas and these things. I think it's badly needed here. As far as the project itself, I think they located it in a great place. You know, they've built a number of those of these wind towers in Maine, and like they say, they tear off the top of the mountain and they do this and they do that. This project's located basically on flat ground. It just happens to be 1,500 feet high, and the wind blows there. So when people say, you know, we got to blast the mountain tops, we got to do this, it's not going to happen here. This is already roaded. Almost every place that these towers are going to be, there's already a logging road there. Granted, these roads are going to be better and built better, and you know, I'm sure everything will be done environmentally sound. I know as a logging contractor, the things I can do as a logger and the things that will be done on this project are under a microscope compared to what we do. So I don't think the water is going to be hurt or the fish or the birds or anything like that. But I think it's a badly needed project for this area. One other thing I'd like to point out, one of the previous speakers was my nephew, Matt. He graduated near the top of his class in the first class at Northern Maine to be a technician. Unfortunately, he's working in New Hampshire. You know, it's too bad that we train these kids, you know, to be technicians and get good jobs, but they don't stay in Maine. You know, we need these people to stay in Maine. So that's about all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Robert Thompson.
I'll be brief. I'm neither really for or against this, mostly against, I guess. I know about power. I'm a retired electrician. I've worked nukes all over the country. I've worked coal fired. I've worked all these hydro dams up and down this river. So I understand the power. I understand Bingham and Moscow's plight. I love the area. But my own personal interest is selfish. I live on the lake south of here. I own an inn down here in Lakewood on the lake. The lake runs north and south. I go out to my dock. I look up Johnson Mountain, right up this way here. Your 8-mile limit is not enough. I'm afraid that this is going to impact. It's going to impact my business. The people in this area are going to get their economic boost. I'm going to make sacrifices that I'm going to have nothing to do with, and it's not going to be compensated in any way whatsoever. Thank you. You're very patient.
Thank you. James West.
Good evening. Thank you for hearing me out. I'm a resident of Bingham for all my life. I've been here for 71 years, and I've had a business here in this community for 45 years, and my son has recently taken over. So we've been actually in business for over 48 years. We have 24 employees working at Jimmy's Market, and just like anything else, Forest Wind is a very, as far as I'm concerned, is a very good asset for our community. For tax basis purposes, and also for things that could be happening in our community. It's just like anything, it's new technology. Just like when the railroads first started coming into this area, I would imagine there's a lot of people against the railroads because it was on their land or whatever. And then when they built the big dam up here, when they flooded the whole valley, there was a lot of people against that. But First Wind and wind towers, to me, is just one piece of the puzzle in the future that's going to be coming to our doors down the road. I don't know what the other technologies will be. It probably might be solar. And if it's solar, there's going to be some people against that. But the thing is, we've got to get rid of this using dependence on oil and go with the natural environment technologies that will spare us from using all these oil products that we have to use today to survive. The amount of money that this community will have will also benefit the taxpayers of that community. That'll be projects that that we won't have to use our personal tax dollars to rectify or to benefit our community. And if I know you came into town in the evening, but if you ever drove through Main Street, you could see how depressed the area really is. And this is the only thing that's happened to our community recently that gives us hope that something, you know, positive might happen here. I'm trying to think what I was going to say. I don't have all the answers to some of the people that made the comments that they made, but I know that they personally, their personal opinions is valid to them. But as myself, this community needs a boost, and I think this is one of the best areas that will happen to our community. Back in when I was growing up as a kid in this town, the town was really prosperous during the 50s, and 60s, and 70s. Then we lost our big industry, which is Queen's Veneer Mill. And after that, things started to go away. I mean, we lost a lot of manufacturing jobs here in this community. And so, to me, this First Wind is a positive thing for our community here. And I hope that you decide on letting them have that opportunity to put turbines here. I don't think the eye of the beholder is probably one of the hardest things to describe to each individually. Some people like the wind towers. They think they're majestic. And other people think they're terrible looking. But I think even the county here, if the county would accept First Wind, it would also help our county as a whole, because Summit County is one of the poorest counties in the state. I don't know if you probably know that anyway, but it's not the jobs that we don't have here that keeps our young families here. So we need anything that gives a positive outlook on our community would help us benefit very strongly. The other thing is, people have been saying that it doesn't create jobs. It does create jobs, because the University of Maine right now is in the field of looking into wind power itself, and also in the manufacturing of the turbines, which would create a lot of jobs in this country. Right now, we're getting a lot of our turbines from foreign countries. So if they could get the jobs to come here stateside, or in the state of Maine, that would benefit our economy also. And you got to think of those things, too, as you make a decision on this project, because this could... And 10 years from now, the technology could be changed, and it would also benefit the wind power industry. But like you say, the wind towers is not the answer, like somebody said. It's more of one piece of the puzzle to what's going to happen in the future.
Thank you, Mr.
Yeah, okay. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, Mr. West. Bjorn Lake.
Hi, my name is Bjorn Lake. I'm an engineer who works for Kleinschmidt based out of Pittsfield. I'm a resident of Bangor. I'm here on behalf of the Sebasticook Regional Land Trust. I'm a board member for the trust, and I just want to read a brief statement expressing our opinion on the project. The Sebasticook Regional Land Trust has a mission to recognize and conserve the rich, wild, and working landscape of Central Maine's Sebasticook River watershed. We work with willing landowners to conserve the lands they love and the resources our community relies on. Clean water, family farms that provide local food and jobs, well-managed working forests, places to hunt, fish, and recreate with our children. The Sebasticook Regional Land Trust manages 6 preserves, 12 conservation easements, totaling over 3,000 acres. One of the greatest threats to our watershed is the impact of climate change to the air, land, and water. Cleaner energy sources, such as wind, provide an alternative to greenhouse gas producing fossil fuels that have led to changes in weather patterns that have affected the natural resources we depend on in the watershed. It is our belief that the Bingham Project has been cited to minimize the impact on natural resources and aesthetics and will produce a safe, reliable energy that lessens our dependence on fossil fuels. Therefore, we believe that the Bingham Project conforms to our mission of promoting and conserving a rich and wild working landscape. That's all I have to say tonight. Our executive director will supply an official statement in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Philip Roy.
Commissioner Aho and members of the DEP, I want to thank you for traveling such a long distance to hear the constituents of Somerset County, their concerns, and I know from past experience in working with the DEP that you will take them all to heart and bring them back and try to deal with them to the best of your abilities. And I want to thank you on behalf of the Somerset County Commissioners for you traveling this distance and holding this hearing. I want to extremely express that I am not here representing the Somerset County Commissioners, although I am a serving county commissioner, and I am acting as my own as a county commissioner. But I want to make sure that's on the record, because I am not here speaking on behalf of the county. My name is Philip Roy. I am the Somerset County Commissioner, and I'm also the CFO for the County of Hancock. I offer a little background of myself. I have never supported wind energy in Maine. In fact, I've been against it. But as CFO of Hancock County, I was required to work with First Wind on the Bull Hill Wind Project, creating a community benefit agreement, TIF district, and credit enhancement agreement. I am presently working on and completing the Hancock Wind Project that is will accomplish the same thing we did at Bull Hill. I want to say, it's not in my testimony, but we have received so far the second payment of the community benefit and one TIF payment, excess of over $500,000, and we have given back to First Wind $380,000. So if the misnomer of this is creating a finance for them is totally false, without question. This is not a finance issue by any shape of the means, at least the one I'm dealing with and the one I'm preparing is definitely not for financing of this project in any way, shape, or form. And I suspect, as everything that I've read and understanding numbers as I do not believe that they're using the TIF that they've offered and the community benefits to finance this project at all. I think it's fully financed. I have visited Stetson 1, Stetson 2, and Mars Hill wind projects as required by my job. I can honestly say First Wind has done it right. After reading everything I can get my hands on the Bingham Wind Project, I'm in front of you today to support the Bingham Wind Project. Surprise. Some people are saying Somerset County should say no to this project, but they don't live here. A lot of them don't. They have a luxury of coming here from somewhere else with no qualms about speaking for those who live here and actually work here. Tonight, I want to give you a few reasons why Somerset County should say yes to this project. The Bingham Wind Project represents $400 million of investments in Somerset and Piscataquis County. I would ask the project opponents, who else is proposing an investment of $400 million in Somerset and Piscataquis County? If we say no tonight, what are the alternatives? The status quo? Please allow me to share real data about the status quo in this neck of the woods. As CFO, I love numbers. Call me a sadist, I don't know. But these are numbers that are real. The unemployment. Somerset County is the second highest unemployment rate in the main 16 counties. In fact, only Piscataquis County has a higher unemployment rate according to the Maine Department of Labor. The unemployment rate in Somerset County is 9.1%. In Piscataquis County, 9.3%. In comparison to Cumberland County, the unemployment rate is 4.6%, and the statewide average is 6.2%. The population of Somerset County has been experiencing a steady decline in population since the recession in 2008. People are leaving this place where they grew up. They are leaving behind their families, their friends, their neighbors, for the desperate search of good-paying jobs and new opportunities. While Maine overall population has experienced a slight increase during the last few years, Somerset County population continues to decrease. Let's talk about the economy. The median annual household income for Somerset County is $38,350, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, compared to $47,344 in the state of Maine. Per capita income in Somerset County is $33,233, compared to the Maine per capita income of $40,087, according to the Department of Commerce. The poverty rate in Somerset County is 17.6%. compared to the state average of 14%, according to the 2010 census. We are the second poorest county in the state, Washington County being the first. The median value of owner-occupied homes in Somerset County is only $109,000, compared to statewide average of $175,600. That's the bad news. Now let me tell you what the good news is. The Bingham Wind Project represents a capital investment of over $400 million in Somerset and Piscataquis County. Bingham Wind will generate nearly $8 million in community benefits over the next 20 years, including community benefit agreements with the towns of Abbott, Bingham, Parkman, Moscow, and Kingsbury Plantation. I wish to set the record straight. Currently, there are no, I repeat, no community benefit or TIF offers on the table at the county. We welcome them. We wish that First Wind would come and present one and ask for one, because we would love to have the opportunity to listen to our constituents in Somerset County and hash that out and try to bring back some economic value for this wind project to the unorganized territories that it is missing at this point. You heard tonight Mayfield. Unfortunately, we can't do it under the permit application process because there's just not enough time. This is a year to a year and a half process, and I hope that First Wind will take that step and finally bring something formal to Somerset County, because I sure would like to get my hands on one. Bingham Wind will give Somerset and Piscataquis County a much-needed shot in the arm for economic development and provide $600,000 in community benefit agreement funds over the next 20 years to the Somerset Economic Development Corporation. It will create 350 full-time construction jobs from companies like Reed & Reed, Maine Drilling and Blasting, and Underwood Electric. Some of these people are the ones that we worked with on the Bull Hill project. These companies will hire local labor, and at the end, 8 to 10 full-time, permanent, good-paying jobs and benefits will remain here in Somerset County. It will create roughly $145 million in the supply chain spent in Maine companies. What a boost. It will provide $42 million cumulative property taxes to the host communities. That's a total of $50 million in taxes and community benefits over the next 20 years. Wind power is not a theory or a fad. It's producing electricity, good jobs, and needed investments across Maine. It has proven itself to be an emerging industry that is compatible with rural communities and traditions and culture. In fact, the study conducted by the University of Southern Maine of three wind projects built between 2003 and 2010 include the Maine Wind Energy, pumped more than $200 million in the Maine economy in the purchase of Maine supplies, goods, supplies, and equipment, created more than 1,500 full-time jobs and an average pay of $29 per hour, paid more than $46 million in wages, and generated more than $1 billion in investments to this state. Almost done. Provided work for more than 300 Maine businesses, added $6 million in property tax revenue annually, and direct investment of rural areas of the state that typically sees no investment. I will conclude by saying it is abruptly clear that the Bingham Wind Project represents a golden opportunity for the people who live and work in Somerset, Piscataquis County. It balances the need of both our economy and our environment. First Wind has conducted a thoughtful and comprehensive analysis of this project. I know, I've worked on a couple of them with them now. And I appreciate the careful balance of ongoing review of the project by the Maine Department of Environmental Protection and several other state agencies. Let's not say no to the status quo, and let's say yes to a brighter future. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Roy. Okay, folks, I'm going to remind you of the ground rules. No applauding, no cheering, no booing, please. We still have a lot of folks that would like to speak. It's getting late for some of us, for all of us, and so I would just like to give that time to the speakers. With that, I would also ask the speakers to be a little bit more succinct and speak more to this specific project. So with that, the next speaker is Bob Myers.
Thank you. My name is Bob Myers, and I'm here representing the members of the Maine Snowmobile Association. And I'm really fortunate in my job that I get to travel all over the state of Maine and see some incredibly beautiful places. And unfortunately, a lot of times, in addition to the beauty, you see wretched opportunities for the local citizens and our economy in areas of the state. We don't believe the two things are mutually exclusive.
Can you hang on just a minute? Are we all set? Thank you. Just wanted to make sure we were okay.
In other wind projects across the state, wind energy has proven to be a responsible choice for power generation. In addition to providing diversity to landowners who wish to extract as much value as possible from their ownership, wind projects also benefit Maine's economy, as you heard Mr. Roy just say, and there are impressive numbers in areas that have very little opportunity. As you heard earlier, wind can also be a tourism attraction. Hundreds of riders every year participate in ride-ins to wind energy facilities in Maine. Some people fret about visual impact of wind turbines, but I can tell you there's a lot of people who not only don't mind actually the view, but seek them out. This weekend, there will be a ride at the Stetson Mountain Wind Farm up outside of Springfield, and hundreds of riders are expected to come up and enjoy the view and see these towers up close. The wind project in Bingham, in addition to the hundreds of millions of dollars in economic benefits, we'll also be making significant investments in the Maine Wind Farm Snowmobile Trail Fund. This is on top of the huge boost a project like this will provide to the local economy. It will generate jobs in the area, especially during construction, and donations to the Trail Fund will allow local clubs to upgrade their infrastructure and in turn enhance riding opportunities in their area to develop more tourism. Snowmobile riders love the Maine woods. We ride to connect with nature and enjoy all that Maine has to offer. We believe that the development of wind projects like Bingham are consistent with those beliefs and will help grow our economy and make sure that future generations of snowmobilers have great trails to enjoy in Maine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Myers. Thank you. Edmund Melcher. Oh, Charles Pooler. Okay, thank you. Chris O'Neill.
Good evening, Commissioner and staff. I'm Chris O'Neill. I'm with Friends of Maine's Mountains. I'm the Government Affairs Director. Here to urge you to scrutinize this project with every bit of scrutiny that you can muster. First of all, you have our comments that we submitted on the 30th of September. We could talk for 20 minutes to recap those, so I won't. I will hit the three high points that that we included there. First of all, we hear beauty's in the eye of the beholder. We hear some people think things are magnificent. Let's get it straight that with the Wind Energy Act, almost five decades of law under the Natural Resource Protection Act and the Site Location of Development Act that put scenic value on a par with land, air, and water for your review and regulation was thrown out the window. And that's why we have this dispute now. It's not your fault, Commissioner. It's not your staff's fault. That was done by the legislature. If anybody wants to fix that, they need to go to Augusta. In our September 30th comments, the three main points we made were that there are shortcomings in the application, and the updated analysis has not satisfied us that those shortcomings have been brought to have been remedied. One, the decommissioning standards. Two, the tangible benefits. And three, specifically, the economic and emissions benefits within that second group. I'll summarize and I'll just update. The decommissioning standards that were submitted to you, we appreciate that you've asked for full funding of the decommissioning fund as early as possible, but the applicant's estimates do not pass the straight face test to cover the costs of decommissioning the project. They need to be tested, they need to be corroborated. You do it with all sorts of other standards, whether it's bird, bat, scenic impact, noise. Do it for this. It's critical. They fall very short of what we have provided in our analysis for you is a reasonable and conservative estimate of what it will really cost to decommission this thing. If we make a mistake on that, it's a horrible legacy to leave. If you require them to withhold the hiccups, Commissioner. If you require them to withhold more money for decommissioning than is contemplated, what's the worst thing that happens? They don't spend it. They get to keep it. Two, on emissions benefits, while those are presumed under the statute, they're not presumed at a level of or a quantity. Now we know that the presumed emissions after a few years of practice, the presumed emissions benefits that were contemplated in 2007 have been largely disproved. While we all believed in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy at one point in our lives, we all had epiphanies and moved on, and we're all none the worse for wear. Assuming the generous and uncorroborated projections in the application for this category are accurate, generous, the Bingham Wind Project will reduce New England CO2 by 14 one-thousandths of 1% and U.S. CO2 by 4 one-hundred-thousandths of 1%. We don't know what the methodology that's used to calculate those emissions, but we don't think they've been tested. If the methodology is the environment main formula that assumes a grid within which 25% of load comes from coal, well, we know that the New England grid is 10 times less coal prolific than that. So double-check the math there. It will color the value place on that tangible benefit as it's presented to you. Three, the submission that we gave you explains the calculation of negative economic benefits. While most people who come in, and Mr. Roy did a great job of reciting all the talking points about all that's to the good, nobody has made an attempt at arriving at a net number, because there are costs. I remember when I owned my own business, and when I was in my 20s, people would ask me, how's business? I'd say, I'm going gangbusters. I'm selling product all over the place. But are you making any money? No, it costs me a whole lot more to operate than it does to make a living. I sold the business after 4 years and escaped. Now I'm making an honest living. But the net calculations and analysis that we provided for you, we think ought to be explored. For instance, we see in a very conservative estimate $32 million being extracted from the Maine economy by this project, which is the equivalent of 1,000 jobs lost. Looking at the Wind Act, we assert that Bingham should be rejected for these reasons. In section 3451 of the Act, tangible benefits, the definition section, there's a list of benefits that includes, but is not limited to, and then there's a litany of all the benefits that you may count. Two, in section 3454, still intangible benefits, you're instructed that in making findings, the primary siting authority, that's you, shall presume that an expedited wind energy development provides energy and emissions-related benefits, as described elsewhere in the Act, beginning of it. Now, that's a presumption, but it's not quantity-specific. Again, if you hire me to make widgets, and you're expecting me to make 100 widgets, and I only make two, are you justified in firing me because you didn't give me a quota of 100? You probably are, but I can argue to you that you hired me to make widgets, I made widgets. Additional findings is a word that comes later in that section. It begs you to calculate net benefits and not just take the submissions of the applicant at face value. It begs you to exercise some discretion that you have within the Act. It goes on to say this is aided, it's aided by or other comparable benefits in section 3451, subsection 10. If you look at tangible benefits in section 3554, where the applicant must document the tangible benefits, it allows the applicant to mention energy and emissions benefits as described in 3454, but it does not require this information. It's presumed. They're wasting your time. But as long as they're bringing it up, let's talk about it. Show us your math. And I'm about to wrap up, Commissioner. This invitation to quantify net benefits, look at both sides of the ledger, is similar to the siting authority's ability to scrutinize environmental impact on a more cautious basis. That's found in section 3402, sub 2, paragraph C, where nothing in this section is meant to diminish the importance of addressing as appropriate site-specific impacts on natural values, including but not limited to wildlife, habitats, etc. Same principle applies there, but not here. You should use your discretion there. So think about pluses and minuses. When you net the benefit, as we did, the minuses really exceed the pluses. Also in 3402, it says the legislature further finds that development of the state's wind energy resources should be undertaken in a manner, my emphasis, should be undertaken in a manner that ensures significant tangible benefits to the state. Again, supporting what I'm urging you to do. And finally, we ask you to find that the applicant has not shown the project to be, and this is in 3402, quote, consistent with all state and federal environmental standards and achieving reliable, cost-effective, sustainable energy production. It needs to be integrated into the existing energy supply and transmission systems in a way that achieves system reliability, total capital cost effectiveness, and optimum short-term and long-term benefits to Maine people. I would insert net in that last phrase. Commissioner, knowing what we've learned, and with current energy conditions being what they are, we've seen what's happened to the grid, where we've gone from 3% coal and oil to 30% coal and oil because we've wasted $1 billion on wind power here instead of where critical infrastructure is needed in southern New England. Knowing what we know now, you can't overrule, you can't exercise discretion outside the Act, but if there's any wiggle room in there, you need to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. O'Neill. Robert Garish.
Oops, excuse me. Good evening. I just have a few words. Also, not in favor of this windmill project, just because it doesn't produce enough power to shut down a grid. How many places are we going to make uninhabitable by how many windmills is it going to take up? Excuse me. I'm a little nervous here. All right, let's start over. My name is Robbie Garish. How many windmills is it going to take to shut off, really make any difference on our carbon footprint? It's a lot. With a 2,500-foot setback from each windmill, which is your recommended setback, how much of this state will be uninhabitable before we can ever shut down a power plant? I guess that's about it.
Thank you.
I'm tired. I gotta finish up.
Thank you, Mr. Garish. Charlie Seavey.
Hi, I'm Charlie Seavey from West Forks. Pretty much everything I had to say was covered by Commissioner Roy, had to do with the job creation, but specifically as it pertains to the report, I just want to say, as a construction worker in Maine, and I've worked on most of the wind power projects in some form or another, whether it's a short duration or long, that in the report, as they talk about the community benefit, you know, briefly talks about temporary job creation and permanent job creation, I think is drastically underestimated. I think the overall value of those jobs and the number of those jobs is quite more than that. Like I said, I work the more temporary side, but I do work with the permanent guys as well. And as far as all the comments made tonight, I know you do, but I just want to say that I hope you do fact check everything that's being said to you. I know you do, but it just needs to be reiterated that a lot of these comments are completely false. So thank you.
Thank you. Scott Cuddy.
Thank you, Commissioner. My name is Scott Cuddy. I live in Winterport. I'm the Director of Business Development for IBEW 1253. We're a union of construction electricians. We have worked on a number of the wind tower sites throughout Maine. I'd like to start by thanking you guys for being here and for all the attention you've given everybody here tonight. I think a public meeting like this is very important. It's extremely important that the people get to voice their opinion about what is happening in their area. The speaker just before me referenced temporary jobs. It's in the community benefit agreement. It's been referenced a number of times. I work in a temporary field, as does he. Construction jobs are, by their nature, temporary. As soon as I show up on a job site, I begin to put myself out of a job, working toward the completion of whatever the project is. That doesn't detract from the importance of the job. Construction jobs pay higher than average wages in the state of Maine. They often come with benefits. Certainly the people that work in my union receive both health insurance and pension benefits. Though the jobs are temporary, that's not a detraction. Some people may view it as such, but the construction workers have been hit very hard by the Great Recession, and the wind industry has been one of the things that has really kept us going, whether it's electricians, whether it's inside or outside electricians, whether it's the guys building the roads, doing the drainage. This industry has really kept the construction industry in Maine going for a period of time. While I am pleased that we're here, and while I'm pleased that all these comments are being heard, the most important thing that can happen is that when you go back and read over these comments, read over the plans for the last time, and begin to think about making a permit, is that you apply the act as the act is written. If there's leeway in the act, then there is, but if the submission meets up with what it needs to meet up with, that's the gold standard. The legislature wrote the law. Certainly a number of people have voiced disagreement with the law here tonight, and that is absolutely their right, and it's a good thing they have the chance to do so. But the law is still the law, and we need to work within that law, because that is what offers to the businesses that make the investments that make this work possible for people like me and for the contractors that employ people like me. That's what gives them the security to invest, to do the work like this right here, to know that they can invest that money here in the state of Maine, and that they're going to be safe in trying to do so, that they're going to receive the same opportunities each and every time. They may not be able to build whatever it is they want to build. That's understood. But so long as the process is the same each time, and they receive a fair hearing each time, that's what gives a business the security that they need to continue on. I've said what I came to say. Thank you guys very much. I'd also like to thank everyone in the crowd. This has been a very contentious issue, and everybody's been very respectful tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Julie Richard.
Good evening, and thanks for coming. Brevity is a virtue, so I'll hurry. My name is Julie Richard. I live here in town. I grew up here in town. I'm also principal of the schools. We're 209 students strong, pre-K-12. I serve as second selectman for the town of Bingham. And I'm pleased to be here tonight to support the First Wind Energy Project. I believe most of the residents of the town and surrounding areas really do as well. Anyone who chooses to live here, especially in a winter like this one, appreciates the beauty and the awe of nature in this place. No one would want to live here in this area without having that respect. I believe that the residents of the area fully understand that the wind towers will change aspects of our environment, but they're willing to partner with industry to be able to remain here and make a living. The area, people have done that over time. We share the forests, rivers, and wind with responsible industries. People here support loggers who harvest timber, yet agree to the best practices for managing the forests. Folks support the hydroelectric stations that are in our neighborhoods, in Wyman, Harris Station, even Williams and Solon. But they expect responsible management of our water levels and wildlife. People of this area will expect the same from wind energy businesses. People of this area, we heat with wood, pellets, oil, propane, solar. There's a couple of wind, individual wind energy contributions to some folks who live off the grid. So we're not unaccustomed to the same sort of thing in a larger environment sense. Do we expect the wood industry? Yes. Do we expect that there's going to the hydroelectric station will still be here? Absolutely, because we're using all those different kinds of energies in our homes to make it through the winter. The wind energy project will make a significant lift to our economy and to the tax contributions of the communities involved. Our schools here are the third poorest in Maine. We receive 77% of our students are free or reduced lunches, federal lunches. We fall behind Southern Aristic Schools and East Grand, and then it's this area, SED 13. We need to attract businesses, and businesses that will work with our recreation industries and the resident woodworking areas that are still maintain our economy here. This project will bring those kind of significant economic benefits that will merge and work with the timber harvesting as well as the recreational industries. Thank you for listening to my thoughts tonight, and good luck with your deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Richard, and thank you also for allowing us to use your gym here as well. Thank you. Steve Perry.
Commissioner and staff, my name is Steve Perry, and I live in Lincoln, Maine. And I'm fortunate enough to live on one of the small ponds in Lincoln that overlook the Rawlins Project. 9 out of the 40 turbines I see from my easterly view every single morning. And at the time when the project was being constructed, I was actually building a retirement home on this lake, and I plan to retire there. First Wind and Rawlins Wind Project has been a good friend to Lincoln, and I'd like to just add a different perspective. You've heard tonight, and for the folks here, Lincoln is a better place for the project that is before us. It's given us the benefits that we've heard and talked about tonight to help our schools, to improve our roads, and to make our community better, to stabilize our taxes. All of these have been positive benefits, and they will continue on for the next 20 years. One of the things that I can report is that one of the best things we'd like to do is the kayak on an early Saturday morning. And it always amazes me that you can go out on the water, and I only live 3 miles away from these turbines, and you can go out in the water on a Saturday morning, and it will be dead calm, and you hear nothing. And if anyone's been around the lakes in Maine, you know that on a calm evening or a calm morning, any voices carry. And I'm here pleased to say that the only thing we hear are the loons and the eagles. Yes, we did have issues with the eagles early on, and they made provisions during the construction of the project to protect these eagles. And I'm here tonight and say that they are still thriving. Don't go ice fishing and throw your fish on the lake, on the ice. You may not get it back. I won't take much of your time, but thank you for coming, and I'm here to support the project and encourage the folks here that they will be pleased with the progress and the professionalism of the developers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jace Strickland.
Good evening. I'm a third generation Binghamite, I guess you'd say, and a couple more weeks I should have my third grandchild that lives here, who will live here. Seen Bingham change tremendously. It used to be a beautiful town and a lot of work. I grew up, grab a shovel and go out and shovel a roof all day if you wanted to, you know, or whatever. I'm also a business owner, landowner. Certainly appreciate the environment and very conscious of it. We're before I go into the economic part, I think the windmill is the way to go. It, like everybody says, it's not the answer, but a few years ago we were ringing up for our telephone, now we got TV on it, so I can only imagine what's going to happen in 10 years. The solar power is progressing exponentially. Maybe we'll have solar power there. All we'll have to do is plug it into the infrastructure that's all there, and I think it's impressive that Bingham can be put on the map with this project. I think it's the right thing to do. We've got to start someplace, and there's no other opportunity we're going to get that I can see. I grew up in the church that had, I don't know, 130, 150 members. I think we're down to 15 now. Kids used to go on the streets and just go anywhere. 2 years ago, I found a dead person in my parking lot. 2 weeks later, a drug overdose 2 houses down. People don't have any work, crawl into a bottle, do the drugs. It's just going downhill all the time. We lost our insurance company 6 months ago. My mom worked in insurance company 50 years ago, and we had one here for forever. Now we don't even have that. All businesses, most of the businesses that are here are struggling. I am. I have a local restaurant. We didn't even come close to breaking even. There's just not enough people here to support it. We at the restaurant, we have 17 employees. Every penny goes right back into the local economy. We need this. We need this. We need it. We're going downhill. We have no other. There's no alternative. There's no. And it's the right thing to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Joe Dion or Dion?
I'm Joe Dion. I run the real estate agency in town. And I'll tell you a little story first. I've got a Newfoundland dog, and I got about a year old, and he was wild as a hawk. And I worked with him. You know, right now, that dog will do anything for one of these things. A dog biscuit. That's what their teeth is. It's a dog biscuit. Mm-hmm. I can't believe the money that is being wasted trying to get everybody butted up to do this. I mean, if it's with this way, it'd go on its own. They wouldn't have to waste this money. I mean, it's just unreal. Tonight, I've seen 3 kinds of people. I was in the line, so I've been watching, and everybody's already said what I was going to say. There's ones that are bought and paid for by the wind energy companies to pump them up. There's the people who can just see the TIF. And there's the few that, well, I would say there's quite a few that spoke for that. But I mean, if wind energy was so great, why do they have to pay folks to come to these meetings? My real estate agency is on the corner of Murray Street. And when they were doing the working on the lines, rebuilding the lines, power lines. I see all these trucks go up to, and every equipment. It's from Wisconsin.